Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. Makati Deaver has won it.
Hello and welcome back to .com and the Den Mondays. It's been a while and it's going to be a little while before you see us again after this week. This is a somewhat delayed season finale through a combination of a packed racing schedule, a little club politics and some well-earned rest for my stablemate here, Richard Irvin. We haven't done the show for a month or so. Rich, welcome back to you. It's good to be back here on .com and the Den Mondays with you.
Always love chatting with you on a Monday, Rog. This is the last dance, so we've got to make the most of it. Are you Michael Jordan or am I Michael Jordan?
I definitely don't think I could be compared to Michael Jordan in any way. Aside from my physique, I am a 6'7" black man. No, definitely not Michael Jordan. I don't think you are either. Are we just going to have conversations on Monday mornings, just ring each other just to get through until hopefully season two?
Well, we both love the NFL, so it won't be hard to find some common ground.
That's true. All right, let's get into our straight six, the six biggest things that mattered from the weekend's races.
The straight six.
Oh, Nadal, this was the performance we've been waiting for. Exploded like a bloody meteorite over the last furlong. I don't think Barraquil, Rich, was flat or over the top. I just think he ran into one better. And this was the performance of a Group 1 horse in a field that, aside from probably the first few across the line, wasn't a Group 1 field. Not that it was trying to be.
Yeah, mesmerising win. We've got to remember that Barraquil was mesmerising the McEwen a couple of starts back. So Kieran Maher wins the race that he had a slot in as well. He was the slot owner of Nadal. So where does Nadal go? Well, everyone seems to think that Group 1's his next sort of port of calling. The Oakley Plate, the Newmarket, those kind of races would be perfect for him. Really exciting, huge win. Barraquil, I agree with you, just found one better on the day. Same with Ray Magnerio. And I was listening to Trav Noon yesterday, and he thought that the setup for the William Reid in the autumn at the Valley is really good for Barraquil, and maybe that will be Barraquil's first ever Group 1. Exciting times. It came off really well, the meteorite. I loved it. Great day at Cranbourne.
Cranbourne, Rich.
So many people have been correcting me on that. Cranbourne.
Just think crime burn. look, Barraquil, the way he won the McEwen sort of suggests that he's very much a Valley horse. He's not a Flemington horse. I wouldn't say either way with Cranbourne. I think, like I said, he just ran into one better. But the Valley looks his track, and the William Reid, like you mentioned, should set up quite nicely for him. The Cranbourne Cup was the other main feature. I think it was a dual feature day, is the best way to look at it. I didn't find too many winners on Saturday, but plenty of places, not many winners. I was very keen on Globe. He looked a star 18 months ago, winning his first four races, then had some cardiac arrhythmia, was spelled, didn't come up in the autumn, but there was plenty of merit in his first two runs, his prep, and he looks to have perhaps captured that initial form that we saw 18 months ago. I'm excited for what's to come if he continues on this upward trajectory, as he was super on Saturday.
Yeah, it was nice to see him do what he did. He's had a pretty tough sort of year, as you alluded to. Mick Price and the owners and Mick Kent Jr. have been very patient with him. So the interesting thing is you've got the $2 million Ingham coming up at Randwick. We know that Price can't have a stable up at Randwick now. So it's a lot of money on offer for a nice sort of handicap race, you know, over the metric mile at Randwick. So it'd be interesting to see if they do go in that direction. It's 3 weeks away. Mick Price, after the race, said he's not that keen on summer racing with him. Probably wants to, you know, focus more on autumn. So I'll be interested to see what they do with that. The other thing is that if he was to win that race, he would be straight into the Doncaster Golden Ticket, and you think that something like a Doncaster would be great for Globe because he'd be relatively low in the weights. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with them. But yeah, big autumn coming up for Globe no matter what happens. I thought Air Assault was good, very honest. Look, probably, you know, that's about its level. Cranbourne Cup, sort of Group 2, Group 3 level. Interested to see if they possibly back him up in the Eclipse, which is over 1,800 at Caulfield on Saturday. I thought that might not be a bad race for him. And then the Tiarco run, It's a Wild Night, never got clear running. Very hard to know what to make of him. Comes over with a bit of a boom on him, but have to wait till next time to see what he's like in Australia.
There's going to be a bit of a boom on a certain three-year-old out of the Clinton McDonald stable let's get this straight. Clinton McDonald is a trainer first and a punter 1A. No stable sets a young horse for a maiden first, you know, first start sting like the McDonald stable does. If you see money for a McDonald first starter, especially with Ben Mellum in the saddle, get on. This was not a bad field he beat. I think this will be a good form race going forward. Refused to Be English is the horse I talk of. Very impressive, utterly dominant win, really, by a horse that was $8 into $4.30.
Yeah, huge, huge go. So the tip made its way to the den. A lot of the boys in the den were up and about when it won. Great ride for Magic Melon. Sort of just took the runs when he needed to, which is what you got to do to get these horses home. It knocked off our friends at Ladbrokes Racing Club. So Romane Ed Demum was the dominant favourite. Went straight past it like it was nailed to the wall. So Ladbrokes Racing Club would be a little bit disappointed by that. But hey, we don't know how far Refused to Be English might go. It might end up being one of the stars of the autumn. And one thing I did think that was interesting that McDonald said after it was that he put a bit of a shout out to say that there is a... So the Magic Millions have got a new slot race, a $3 million slot race. It's called the Magic Million Sunlight. It's 1,100-meter race for three-year-olds. And Clinton McDonald said, hey, if anyone wants a fast horse to put in that, let me know. So that would be interesting. I think it's on January 10th or something like that, January 9th maybe. It's a Friday night at the Gold Coast. But then, yeah, they would bring it back and definitely try and win some good races with it over the autumn.
I'm a big fan of Clinton McDonald, and you never die wondering what he's thinking. And he will, as long as he's already got his bets on, he'll let people know whether a horse is one to back. Don't worry about that. So always keep an ear out when Clinton McDonald's talking on the radio or on podcasts. All right, Port Lockroy, Group 1 Railway Stakes. Now, we can't ignore the elephant in the room here. Darren McCall, probably the second best caller in the country behind Matt Hill. Not that it's close. Matt is the best in the world. But Darren's had a shocker here. He's called the wrong horse home, not realised for about 30 seconds or more until he checked the screen that it was Port Lockroy, not Sox Nation, which won. And in terms of the race, we've got too many Group 1s here in Australia. This might be the one that needs to be looked at. This was not a Group 1 field, Rich, and it certainly wasn't a Group 1 call by Darren.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with you there. I mean, this is, you know, this bunch of horses haven't been competing at the better Group 1 races over East. Moving beyond that, great to see Port Lockroy win. He's been very consistent for Annabelle Neesham and Rob Archibald. I like seeing because we had that little personal connection with him over the spring.
Did you get any mail out of him, Rich? Did you get mail?
No, I've left them alone, but they've always had a big opinion of the horse. And what I liked was that, but it was a huge go. Like, he didn't really need the mail. Like, it was 18, they put up $18 early in the week, and by race time, I think it was $9 or something. So a lot of people were tipping it in, you know. I'd be interested to see how the Ladbrokes book handled it. But I'm just happy for them that they, you know, like all trainers, they work so hard and they've actually had a really good end of the spring. They obviously had Sunshine in Paris win the Group 1. Now they've got another Group 1 with Port Lockroy. Good to see first Group 1 win for Clint Johnston Porter as well. And he looks like he's going places very quickly. And Port Lockroy is in the market for the Gold Rush, which is over 1,400 metres on December the 14th. You'd think that they'd have to hang around for that, dropping back in distance a bit for that. It's big money on offer. So, look, he's a really nice horse and he's got a very bright future.
I was really keen on Belle Claire in that race, and pretty sure she's still running.
Yeah, gave up pretty quick. She was, she's come to the end, I think. She's been so good come to the end, I guess.
It was a disappointing end, but yes, I think she'll be going to the paddock. Now, the Japan Cup. Have you been to a Japan Cup before, Rich?
Nope. Never there, never Hong Kong.
Got to be on the Hong Kong list, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, every year it comes up, and I was like, oh, I was supposed to be going to that, so... Yeah, incredible race. The quality of horse is so strong. But, back to you.
Yeah, big race, world watching. Do Juice wins. The flow on from this, though, James McDonald won the world jockey title, given Ryan Moore didn't win this iconic feature. So another win for J-Mac, even though he wasn't there.
Yeah. And you can see up on the screen now, I'm interested how softly Yutaka Taki rides Do Juice. He just sort of just gently pushes it, even here. You know, just as they come towards the post here. He's not that vigorous on it, but I guess he knew that he had the wind in hand. And look, I don't know a whole lot about these horses. I went and looked to see if Deduce was going to go into the Hong Kong Vase, the 2,400-meter race on International Day. It's not in the market there, so I presume it's not running, and nor were any of the horses that ran behind it. But look, everyone says that the Japan Cup is always an incredibly high level of equine thoroughbred. So, good to see. And great to see J-Mac get crowned world's best jockey. We all think he is, so it's good that he's recognised around the world as well.
It was a tough time slot for me because I produced the sports bulletin for Channel 10 on a weekend, and Channel 10 Sport goes to air at 5:40, and this race jumped at 5:40. So I've got to admit that I did not watch this race live. My old mate Michael Falgate just takes a junket over there every year. So some people really like the Japan Cup. And finally on the straight six, Rich, just quickly, Winx has given birth to a colt. So we saw the Winx foal go for, what, $10 million to Debbie Capitis last sale. So now Winx has given birth to a colt this morning. We speak on Monday, what is it, November 25. You would imagine there'll be a fair bit of cash potentially if they put it up for sale, splashed around on a colt by Winx.
Yeah, do you think that it would reach $10 million again or something like that? I don't. I just feel like that wasn't it. Yeah.
Yeah, because generally it's star mares, superstar mares generally don't throw very good foals.
Yeah.
But there's an argument from those who know a lot more about this than I do that it often will skip a generation. And so that's why the filly was potentially worth so much, because she might be worth more as a broodmare, not so much on the racetrack. And and maybe the colt is similar, but no, I don't think he'll be worth as much. But you never know, because the sort of money that gets splashed around at sales is not the sort of money that you and I have. Rich, Dan O might have it, because he is a ratings guru, and plenty of people, I'm sure, would like to throw cash at Dan O'Sullivan just to find out how he rates their horses. And interesting from the weekend, Nadal, as soon as this race was run, I was like, geez, I wonder what Dan's going to rate Nadal. 102 is the answer. And his little summary was that came back off a hot speed, ran fast time in sectionals, still full of running through the line, a potential Group 1 star off this performance. And, well, he knows better than me, but it's hard to disagree.
Yeah, I'll move on to Gringotts, which is the winner of the Gong. We didn't talk about the Gong, but it was a great win by Gringotts. Another big go for the punter. It was good to see $6 into 280 or something like that. So Gringotts was 101, a new peak of 101, up from 98.7 last start. The Group 1 Doncaster in the autumn beckons. And just quickly, I talked about the Ingham when we were talking earlier about Glow, but Gringotts looks like it's got a great chance in the Ingham. And once again, it'd be the golden ticket in the Doncaster. So you'd think that it'd have to run Gringotts in the Ingham with that $2 million prize money. Back to you, Rog.
Well, we mentioned Debbie Capitis. It all just ties in with Ingham as well. Refused to be English, 97.5. Very promising debut. It's the second highest rating debut performance we've seen this season behind, wait for it, Autumn Glow. That's good.
That's huge. That is huge. Yeah, I was very surprised by that, but great to see. Good to see we've got another exciting one. Port Lockroy, 97.3, was similar to last start, 97.1, when normalised to weight for age. Well-placed with 53 kilos, dropping significantly from the 57.5 kilos in the Golden Eagle.
Number 5-1, I was really impressed by Wings of Song. Great return off a 210-day spell over 1,400 metres. Her previous best was an 1,800-metre Group 3 with an Adelaide rating 96.3. She's rated 96.5 here. Very likely on the upward spike to come from her. When I previewed that race on the Moody on the Mic podcast, I actually had another horse in that race as my best, but I said Wings of Song, can't tip her in this one. I think the 1,400 would be too hot for her. The fact she was able to win first up 1,400, I will be following her next start and beyond. Rich, let's get now to the Stewards in 60.
Stewards Room Speed Round.
Rightio, Stewards in 60, Saffron Osborne, Saffy as she's affectionately known out here from the UK, riding for Kieran Maher, and she's been slapped with a careless riding suspension out of rate 6 at Cranbourne on Saturday. She will be able to return on the 8th of December. Severe reprimands for Damien Lane out of rate 6, careless riding, and Blake Shin out of rate 7, also for careless riding. In terms of the horses, Lazy Susan, Lame Left 4, out of race 5. In race 4, Blistering Blood bled the left nostril. And race 6, Sear 7, left in the lame in the left hind, needs a vet clearance up at Kembla. Rachel King copped a careless riding ban in race 1, and Blake Spriggs got a reprimand on headwall in race 9. King of Spades, lame, 2/5 in the off hind. Race 5, Extraordinaire, lame, 1/5 in the off 4. Race 7, Rock Empire, lame in the near hind, and Fleetwood in race 9, poor post-race recovery. So if you're wondering why a horse you backed was poor, that might explain it. That was Stewards in about 67.
Cook the book.
Okay, let's get stuck into Cook the Book, punters, and welcome back Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes, Kingsley Bartholomew from Wolfden, both back from a little sabbatical, gentlemen. Tom, I'll start with you. Barrakeel was as short as even money when Final Fields, or just before Final Fields, was set for the meteorite, but he continued to get out as we got closer. Was that a lack of money? Were your bookies keen to take him on? Or was it just the money that was coming for the eventual winner in Nadal?
Our bookies were keen to take on Barraquil, and despite the fact he was such a big drifter, he was comfortably our worst result in the race. In fact, he was our only losing result going into the Ladbrokes media ride. He was a $539,000 loser, our only result in the red in the race. Nadal was a nice winner for us, $147,000. So now, despite the fact of the drift, it was still the horse that was getting the best backed with the Ladbrokes punters and comfortably our worst result in the race.
How'd you end up faring at Cranbourne overall as a book? It's always a difficult punting day, I think, for a punter.
Yeah, it was a good result for the book across the board there. The one result which went against us was in the Ladbrokes Cranbourne Cup. Globe was a $300,000 loser for us, but just most of the day it was pretty tough for the punters and a good result for the book.
Kings, when we get to tracks like Cranbourne, Kembla Grange, as we did on Saturday for that Metropolitan racing, do you tend to keep your powder dry? Do you trust your judgment at tracks we probably know less about, you know, outside those main metro ones?
I actually don't mind those tracks when the sort of harder or the lesser known tracks I prefer, because it's just all the same to me. It's just another track sort of thing. So actually, my best bet of the day on Saturday was at Pioneer Park, which up in the Northern Territory. So no, it's all the same. So that sort of the Flemington or that Flemington week is actually the hardest week to pick winners at. So no, I like it.
For those watching on the YouTube channel, big you can see our special guest appearance from Tom's little girl. Annie, but we won't ask her any questions, Tom. We'll go to Kings. And Kings, you just mentioned the winner you found at Pioneer Park. Did you find many on Saturday?
There was a few there. The Guineas winner over in WA, Storyville, was my best result of the day. But I found Cranbourne pretty hard. I didn't get too involved there, but found it pretty hard. It was very on pace-ish there early. And then we saw like Nadal come down the middle there, which I heard you speaking about before. Nadal was really well backed in that race, but just lost on the day.
Tom, the Gong was the feature at Kembla. It was $7 the field, I think, when markets opened on Wednesday, or $6.50 maybe. The winner, Gringotts, was backed into $2.60. That must have been a rough result for the Ladbrokes book.
Losing result, it wasn't quite as bad as I thought it might be. It was still a losing result. We lost just over $200,000 on the race, but the way that price shortened up late, it was well found by the Wolf Den boys in the pot that they had on Saturday, and it was shortened right up in that last half an hour. So it was our worst result in the race, but considering how much it did shorten and how well backed it was, I'm probably surprised it wasn't even worse than the $200,000 loss we copped.
You mentioned the pot and the Wolf Den boys on Saturday. Just what's the end result there in regard to the pot over the course of the spring? I think they might have got you in the end, wouldn't they, Tommy?
Yeah, 2-1 Wolf Den. But if you're looking at aggregate numbers, it might be a little bit different. But no, 2-1, they've won the series, and we look forward to going back again next year.
Right, you can skew the numbers any way you want. Electoral College, Ladbrokes pot, whatever you want to do. What about out west, Tommy? Did the punters manage to get some back, and most notably in the feature? And I hope the Ladbrokes didn't pay out immediately based on the call.
No, Sox Nation and Port Lockroy were both winning results for the book. So no bad omens there for us at Ladbrokes. So Port Lockroy was one of our better results in the race. It was a $400,000 winner. It was a horse that our training team were very keen on. It was what they thought was the best bet in the race. So we kept Port Lockroy very, very safe throughout. The J-Mac effect was in big effect on Saturday at Ascot. Light Infantry Man was absolutely truckloaded. It was a losing result of almost $600,000 for us. Tricks of the Trade was well found at a price. It was our second worst result in the race, but no, Port Lockroy, a good result there for the book.
Kings, let's go back a few weeks because we haven't caught up in a while. How did you fare overall for the course of the Melbourne Cup Carnival, the spring in general? What were your best and worst results?
I'll start with my best result was Via Sestina in the Cox Plate. I tipped Via Sestina as the horse to follow sort of in the spring, and then I was on at 480 for the Cox Plate. And then she drifted out to about $6 you could get at the end there, and I went again. So she was my best result. And the worst result was the Melbourne Cup, where I think I lost about over 80,000 on the cup, got involved in the call of the card and played exotics, etc., and didn't have a collect in the cup. So those were the two. Those were the two sort of best and worst results overall. I haven't worked it out. I think I'm probably a small loser. But I went through and had a look. 10 out of 37 over that cup week, 10 out of 37 favourites won, and 12 horses out of 37 were $10 and more. So there were quite a few favourites. Everyone's saying that it was hard for punters, which it was, but sort of it wasn't. I know a couple of punters at once, so it sort of everything that sort of averages out in the end.
I had a decent cup week. I just stink around the rest of it. Tommy, King said I was a small loser on the cup. Ladbrokes were a big loser on the cup, a very, very big loser. One overall, obviously, is well publicised, but a big loser on the big race.
Yeah, the Melbourne Cup, comfortably our worst result of the spring. So on just in the win market, we lost $2.4 million on Knight's Choice. It was the exact worst result in the race, Knight's Choice. And the difference between Knight's Choice, we're in first, and Warp Speed in second, was a $5.5 million swing for the book. So we've been lucky this spring where a lot of the photo finishes have gone our way. But in the Melbourne Cup, that certainly wasn't the case. And we had a couple of big exotics lob as well. One was $100 into $3.2 million in a first four. So we've really copped it quite badly in the Melbourne Cup.
And I remember it's 100 to 1 results. Generally, punters will go, oh, that's a great result for the bookies. But obviously, this case, it's a bit of a rare one, because when Prince of Penzance won, I was working at Ladbrokes, and I remember that was about a $5 million swing from the favourite. I think it was at Maya Ratke that year. That was a huge swing the other way. So it doesn't necessarily reflect exactly how it's going to go in the books, does it?
Yeah, it was Fame Game that year, Rog, that was going to be a big losing result for the book. But this year it was the roughies that were comfortably the worst results for us. It was, I think, in a cup where there was no clear standout, punters were happy to back the roughies. And so basically of our top six losing results in the cup, they were all the roughies in the field. And unfortunately for us, it was one of those roughies that got the job done.
All right, boys. Well, hopefully next year is better for the punters. We trust that we know you've enjoyed your recent holidays. Trust that you have a good Christmas and New Year. And hopefully we'll be speaking to you here on .com and the Den Mondays, cooking the book in the new year. Thanks, gentlemen.
Cook the book.
All right, it is our last episode of the season, so we're going to shell out some awards. What do they get for these awards? Absolutely nothing but our plaudits, Richard. Let's kick it off. The PAX Spring Choice Awards are the ride of the carnival as voted by users on X. No big surprise here.
Yes, it was a bit tighter than I thought. I thought that Blake Shin would just win by panels. But look, a lot of people thought that Robbie Dolan's ride on Knight's Choice, not Knight's Order, as Tommy likes to call it, was a great one. So, yeah, look, one of the best rides I've ever seen with Blake Shin on Tino. Couple other honourable mentions, of course, to Harry Coffey and J-Mac on Sunshine in the Champ Sprint. You agree with that one, Rog? You got no issue with
absolutely.
That?
Yeah, absolutely. Blake Shin taking it, the balls it took on a day like that to take off at the 600 and absolutely blow them away, there's no question. That wasn't just the ride of the carnival. It's one of the great rides of the last 5 years or so. The flop of the carnival. So we're going to the other end of things now. And Pride of Jenny with 33.1% of the vote. The flop of the carnival. Yeah, I don't know. Look, there were some issues, and there was obviously a little bit of did she run in too many races? But I suppose for all intents and purposes, it's probably a fair result.
I think a lot of people who voted there are talking through their pocket. They're a bit frustrated that they backed her and she didn't win, because, you know, like Bustling, for example, how is it not the biggest flop of the carnival? Got bought to come and win the Everest and, you know, never raised a yelp. But look, I respect the democratic process, and if the people say Pride of Jenny was the flop, that's what the flop was.
Respect the democratic process. Lots of awards, so many awards, so many awards. Let's get in the next award. Training.
That's a terrible Trump impersonation.
Good. I don't want to be able to do a Trump. The PAX Spring Choice Award for the training performance of the carnival. Chris Waller, Cox Plate, 45.1% of the vote. Just nudged out Sheila Laxon and John Simons in the Melbourne Cup with 44.4%. And I don't know with this one, it's always hard to gauge just how well they're trained. But the fact that Chris Waller got Bea Sustina to perform on Cox Plate the other way she did after what happened at the track work on the Tuesday probably gets it for me as well. Although Sheila Luxon's record in the Melbourne Cup might just be the training performance of a lifetime, because she's had two Melbourne Cup runners. She's won them both. And also she was a stable hand that came out with Empire Rose from I think she's Welsh. She came out from the UK when Empire Rose won the cup as well. So I think she's actually 3 from 3.
Wow.
Over the course of about 40 odd years. But yes, Chris Waller, Bea Sustina's victory in the Cox Plate after what happened on Tuesday was absolutely sensational.
Yep, I'd be with Waller.
Which leads us into the horse of the carnival, I think.
Yeah, when I put this up, I was like, you know, I mean, you just have to put it up, but it was impossible for any other horse to win. I mean, the only thing that could have maybe changed things up, if Bella Nipotina won the champion sprint, then it could have been a bit of a conversation. But once she got beaten, it was just all over.
Or if Chair Wolf had gone to the Cox Plate and given Versus then a run for her money. But I don't think that would have happened. As much as I wanted Chair Wolf to go to the Cox Plate, Via Sestina, certainty. And you know what? Because the winner of the carnival, if this isn't 100% of the vote, I'm walking out right now. Not 80, so I'm out. I'm done. Ridiculous.
That's it. He's gone.
Who are the dills?
All right. Calm down. So Mr. B in the Champions Mile, that was a crackerjack field. Everyone said that was the race of the carnival or race of the spring. And he, you know, he won pretty emphatically. So let's allow people to vote for that. Chow Wolf and the King Trials, wow. I mean, he just demolished the best weight for age horses in the country. And, okay, maybe anyone voting for Switzerland in the Coolmore.
That was a good win. But Versus then is winning the Cox Plate is one of the greatest wins we've ever seen in Australian racing. And Dan O said that himself in terms of the ratings. My mate, who one of the great form analyst, Dave Gately, reckons it's the best win of his lifetime. Wow. I don't care how good Mr. I love Mr. Brightside, and I love that field in the Champions Mile. But the fact that anyone thinks that there was a win better than Versus there in the Cox Plate is absolutely kidding themselves.
So should we talk to the stewards about it and get all the people who voted for anyone other than Versus there?
I'm going to lodge a bloody protest.
Well, let's get Twitter's metadata, and we'll find out who these people are, and they are banned from racing.
Who would have thought there'd be deals on Twitter? Unbelievable. That's one of the greatest upsets of all those idiots on Twitter. Okay, that's enough. That's enough for the Spring Choice Awards. And there is a pretty handy day of racing this weekend at Caulfield, or this Saturday at Caulfield. We won't be back next Monday to debrief on it. But Trev Noonan's, he only operates in the big time scenario. Mm. So he hasn't done the likely fields for this week, Rich. But what is it, five group races at Caulfield this weekend?
Five group races at Caulfield. It's going to be a great day out there. And the good news is, all of our viewers out there, if you want to go for free, you can take three mates, you can go along due to our good friends at the Melbourne Racing Club. There'll be a link in the description for the tickets. And you can see Peking Duck will be playing. John Stevens was playing last time. I would have loved to have seen that. Love John Stevens. I love Peking Duck as well. So why don't you finish off the spring at Caulfield with free tickets there? It'll be a beautiful day out there. Go get it. Great racing. That's it, Rog. We've come to the end.
How do they get those free tickets?
There'll be a link in the description on YouTube. So if you're listening on Spotify, we'll also put the link in. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes as well, we'll put it in that description as well.
And while you're there, drop a comment on the YouTube page or in the podcast and give us a bit of love so we can show the people that pay our wages how much you enjoy .com of the Den Mondays and make sure we're back for another season in the autumn because we like doing this and we want to be back next year, Rich, because it's good fun. It's good fun.
It's great fun, yeah. And I'm proud of what we've done. I think we pulled together a really nice show, but we always like to improve things and we'll go away. And, you know, if we do get re-signed for next year, we'll try and make the show even better, more informative and more engaging and more fun. So, appreciate the support over this.
Don't build it up too high. Under-promise and over-deliver.
Right. True. But no, we appreciate everybody's support. Thank you very much for watching it. And, I reckon there's a pretty good chance we'll be back again in 2025, Rog.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and look after yourselves and each other.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.